Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Home Covered podcast. I'm Jess. You should know me by now. This episode is part one of three of... I don't even know how to describe it. A crazy story from Russ Nielsen. He reached out to me on Instagram and shared his story with me of his time attending some MLM events. I found this quite interesting because I've never attended an MLM event myself. I wasn't that successful. So yeah, this is part one. Crazy story. Enjoy. Cool. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Obviously, I know you've done the podcasting before as well, so this will be easy for you. so you sent me your story of your experience with an MLM when we were talking over Instagram, but I know there's a lot more to the story, and I know it's quite a crazy one.
Yeah. So I was involved in an MLM called ACN, which stands for American Communication Network. Mm-hmm. They are apparently the alternative to the big phone companies because they don't advertise, and because they don't advertise, they save people money. Okay. So because it was marketed to people directly. So I got to give you a little background how I got it first. Okay. So it was 2006. I was working as a civilian contractor on Buckley Air Force Base in Colorado.
Wow. Interesting job.
Yeah, it was just my job. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it an interesting job? I mean, was it interesting, that job?
I guess you can say so. I dealt with a lot of controversial things, mostly not necessarily controversial. I mean, classified stuff. That's all. Mm-hmm. But I had, I was mostly dealing with BDUs, battle dress uniforms, medals and things like that.
Okay.
So, I was working there for about 4 years, and I just got sick and tired of the environment, because when you're working on federal property, and keep in mind, this was during the height of the Iraq war. And at that time, things were not going well there. So a lot of us were feeling frustrated because we were wanting our troops home, and they were still fighting over there. And so, the death count of our soldiers was on the news constantly, and we got fed up with it. So there was a lot of anger in that intense environment. And not only that, there was also bureaucracy, which is our management making things harder for us by not reacting well to simple solutions. They just kind of dismissed it and then wanted to make things harder than they needed to be. And I got tired of that too.
Yeah, sure. It's always harder when the management are... you feel like they're not on your side, I guess.
Yeah. So I was at Sunday morning services at a local church, and a guy that I met at a previous event just happened to show up that day. So I walked up to him, just kind of got acquainted, and I got a text on my phone. And he hears the ping, and he says, so just out of curiosity, how much are you paying for the phone service?
Hi, how are you? How much do you pay on your phone service?
it was an odd question.
Yeah, random setting as well to bring that up, I guess.
Yeah, you don't think that people would be promoting MLMs at church, but they, surprise, surprise. So I said, well, I pay about $45 for unlimited service. Why? He says, well, how'd you like to knock that down to 20? I said, Sure.
I mean, yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So he invites me to his apartment clubhouse, and he tells me about this business opportunity that could help me knock my phone bill down. So I'm interested. I want to hear what he has to say. So I go to his little apartment clubhouse, and the first thing what he does is he puts in an ACN propaganda video. And in this propaganda video, we had what was called high level ranking regional vice presidents, which is like the top tier of of the group right there. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hallmark Channel. Okay.
So I think it's called, over here we have something called Christmas 24. That's what the channel is called. And they play all the Hallmark films at Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the couples that were featured in this propaganda video had the look of a beautiful, gorgeous woman, and then a handsome looking man with the square line jaw. And they were just, each of them telling their sob stories of how they were broke. They weren't able to make ends meet. They were struggling financially and just didn't really know how to get by. And then lo and behold, someone introduced them to the ACN opportunity. And now they could have the life they've dreamed of. You know, they're there for the kids. They got the house with the white picket fence.
Yeah, of course.
And they're just living the good life. And we can too, if we're willing to work hard, have a positive attitude, and just a very strong work ethic, then we could be just as successful as they are.
Of course you can. Everybody can.
I'm 24 years old, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm impressed. If these guys can do it, heck, I might as well give it a try. Why not? That's how they get you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they really do.
So I look at my future upline and I'm impressed. And he then puts in another video which talks about the services, which one of them's called VoiceOver Internet Protocol. I have no idea what that is, but
no, I haven't heard of that before. I haven't heard of that.
It was a new technology back then. Today it's pretty common. But basically you could see the person you're talking to, just like we can now. Now back in 2006, okay, that was fairly new. People were like, well, I can actually see who I'm talking to on a phone. That's awesome. So there's like, okay. Now at this particular time, they did not have any cell phone services. That came in 2007. They still had landlines, so I didn't really have any use for a landline service, but I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. I said, except I can't have any, I don't know, I don't have a landline, I just have a cell phone, so what now? He says, hang on, let me call my upline. His upline happens to be his ex-girlfriend.
Awkward, maybe?
Yeah. Well, at the time, they were still good friends. They just weren't relationship quality. So
okay. Yeah. And they've got to stay in. You can't, it's not in an MLM. It's not like you can go and work for somebody else either. You know, you've got to stay in your structure, haven't you? So I guess he was kind of stuck there.
Yeah. Now, his upline was physically attractive, outgoing woman. That was just so bubbly and friendly. And I could see why she was a little successful in this.
Yeah.
And what she told me was that I had to pay $499 to sign up, which was expensive. And then explained the rank system. So we had the bottom rank was team trainer. You had to sign a few people up as customers and a few people up as representatives to to get to the to promote it to the executive team trainer. And then you had to get the people you signed up to get other people to sign up. And so that way you can get promoted to executive team leader. Mm-hmm. Then upper ranks was team coordinator. That's now regional director. Okay.
Just going back to the price. I mean, like, how long is that? Like, that's like 14, nearly 15 years ago, isn't it? So that was a lot then. So I don't know what that would translate to in today's money. But that is a lot to join, isn't it? You know, sometimes that's one of the price here of the MLMs, definitely.
Well, and the reason they had it at $499 was because if they had it at $500, mm-hmm. then the SEC would say, wait a minute, you're trying to get people to buy franchises and you don't have the legal means to do that.
Oh, okay. Is there like a limit on what it can be, I guess, then? Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting to know. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just found that out from an anti-MLMer I was just talking to recently. So.
Oh, okay. Makes a lot more sense now. Wow.
Yeah.
So they're getting the most they can.
Yeah. So above team coordinator, you have the regional vice president, and then the highest rank is senior vice president.
Wow, they're ambitious names, aren't they, for an MLM? Like calling yourself a vice president of a company you don't own, that's pretty remarkable, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah. But no, if you go to networking events and nobody knows this, then everybody that you talk to is going to be pretty impressed.
Yeah, well, I'm the senior vice president of, yeah, you'd be like, wow, I'm talking to the big guy. I'm talking to the one in charge here. That's brilliant.
Yep, and that's kind of how they come across.
Wow.
So I'm looking at my future upline and I say, I don't have $499. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's
too expensive. What happened to him giving you a different phone service anyway? I thought that's what he was recruiting you for.
Oh,
selling that to you.
Oh, see, that's just how that was the pitch to get me in. Okay. Right. He had no intention of selling me a phone service because at that time I didn't know that they only had landlines. And it's like, so if you wanted to sell me something, I had to actually get a landline service signed up with them. And
yeah,
I have a cell phone. If anybody wants to talk to me, I can just pick up right there and there. I don't need a phone that I hardly ever use sitting at my house.
Yeah, we're the same. We don't have the landline. Just normal phones. Mm-hmm. Also, they completely forgot about you actually buying anything off them. You were going to sign up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, my future upline looks at me and he says, look, give me a couple of days. I'm going to do some digging and we'll see what we can do to kind of help you out. All right. I said, yeah, not a problem. So a couple of days go by and he calls me up and he says, hey, get this. I just found out that ACN is partnered with a payday loan company called PEO Cash.
Like you didn't know that already. Like, get this. I've just found out that maybe this is his plan all along. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Do you think they get commission if they're partnered with the payday loan company? Do you think?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, interesting one. Go on, sorry.
ACN will deny that they partner with payday loan companies. They will just say, no, we don't do that. That's not something that's part of our business structure. So they'll flat out deny it. But when we went to the PEO Cash website, it says, future ACN reps, get loaned $500 here. Okay, here's the thing. You get loaned that money, you have to pay at least about 412% interest, which means you're paying a lot more down the road.
They can be quite risky, can't they, the payday loan companies? I know people can get in a lot of trouble using them anyway. So
yeah.
Not only do you end up in the hole with the MLM company, you end up in the hole with the payday loan company too.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So I looked at my future upline and I said, I'm not going to put a millstone around my neck by getting a payday loan. That's ridiculous. And then he throws him the hook. He says, how bad do you want to leave your job? Because you hate it there. You've been there for 4 years. They're not treating you well. You leave looking older than you did when you came in. And I'm giving you an opportunity to get to have a way out. And I thought about it. I said, well, you know what? If this is what I got to do to get out of my job, then I'm all right. So I got the payday loan for $500 and spent $499 of it signing up for ACN.
They got you.
They did. So I sign up for it, and he calls his upline, and she says, hey, yay, that's so wonderful. Now you're a part of us. I'm so happy. You're going to have such a wonderful time. You're going to be so successful. And it's like, just remember, okay, you are in business for yourself, but never by yourself. So we are always here to help you every step of the way.
Oh, that's a brilliant line. They should use that one more often. That is a brilliant line. I've never heard that one before.
Oh, they still use it.
Do they? Yeah. I haven't heard that one in England. I've never heard that expression, but it's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind, one of the things that got me hooked in was an introduction by our now former 45th president, Donald Trump, who was a endorser of ACN. He was talking about in one of the videos that he gets companies trying to get him to endorse them all the time, and most of the time he rejects it because he considers it a waste of time. But he looked at ACN, said it was very legitimate, thought they had a good business plan, they were honest people, and it's like, I totally support them. And then he says, there are two kinds of people in this world: those who take action and those who let opportunity pass them by. Which one are you?
Ooh. Okay. So that was, when was that, like 2006? So that's a little more, would you say that's more when, because obviously Donald Trump to us is the president, but we always knew him, I guess, more of like a business celebrity before that.
Like, yeah, he was a business celebrity.
Yeah. Was that then? That's what I was going to ask. Was he more celebrity wise then, or had that not happened yet? Or
he was universally loved business magnate. He was recently, he at that time he married Melania and had Baron. So
okay, so it was quite reputable to have him in the video, I guess.
Yep. And at that time I was a huge fan of The Apprentice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I know you all had The Apprentice over there with Lord Sugar. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, now here's the thing. Trump and Lord Sugar hate each other's guts.
Wait, was Lord Sugar in the American one?
No, Lord Sugar is in the British one.
Yeah, Lord Sugar. I didn't know if he was like in the American one as well. Yeah, that, I mean, it was a good show. They still have it now, but it's completely different people. So
yeah,
it's not as funny as it used to be. But Donald Trump was, him being on The Apprentice was big at that time.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Wow.
And, you know, and I liked seeing the competition where you had, you know, these groups of people. You have one to be the project manager, and then, you know, like, and then the rest, you kind of have like work positions, and they competed for different projects. And the winning project, you know, their team got to, you know, go into the lounge and relax when the losing team got to sit in the boardroom and kind of fight it out. they kind of, and it's up to the project manager to decide which one gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
And if the project manager didn't decide, then the project manager got fired.
They're not worthy to make the decision.
Yep.
So that was all happening at that time. So he was a big celebrity to have on.
Yes.
I guess probably not, like now, it'd be like seeing one of the Kardashians in one of these recruitment videos, wouldn't it? And you're like, oh my God, Khloe Kardashian's involved with this MLM. That means I could be, it's like the same kind of level, I guess, isn't it? Like, I know reality TV's taken a massive, massive growth since then, but I guess comparing at the time to now, it would be like seeing somebody as big as that, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So was that one of the things that thought, yeah, I want to be involved with them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I was hugely influenced by Donald Trump and the Apprentice TV show. So yeah, of course I wanted to join right in because I wanted to be one of the guys that took action.
Yeah.
So I joined. My upline is very happy, and she's so excited. And now they're going to try to get me to train me to do the AC and promote the ACN opportunity to people. So one of the things my upline did was he found a group of people that were also ACN representatives in a suburb of Denver called Thornton, which was about half an hour away from where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there and we saw this one young lady who moved out there to Colorado from California. She had a couple of online food businesses and decided to promote the ACN opportunity in Colorado because it just wasn't well known here at that time. So she already had a strong team, and she was a team coordinator. So we went out and we went over to Thornton, and we had to join what was called a PBR. Now, a PBR is not the alcoholic beverage that's discounted at bars over here in the okay.
Why is it?
It's a private business reception, and so you kind of have to dress up.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this young lady, who I'm going to call her G.I. Jane, and there's a reason.
You did in the messages as well. That's what I was laughing about. You called her G.I. Jane.
Well, she had a very commanding presence and was very militant about things. And so she talked about how in order to attract people, we had to create what's called a warm market list. And in that list, we wrote the names of everybody we knew and their phone numbers. And it could be, you know, your mom, your dad, your sister, your cousins, aunts, uncles. Everybody you know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your job to kind of call them up and say, can you do me a huge favor?
Oh gosh, nothing like manipulation.
It is manipulation. and ACN created that because they say, you know, your friends and family, no matter what, will always be willing to do you a favor. So that's why we use that.
Oh, so the joining is the favor.
Yeah. So
wow.
We had to call every one of them up and ask that question. And then they have scripts to kind of tell us what to say. But so we had to say, you know, I'm just starting up a new business. I'm strapped for cash, need a little help. Would you mind kind of joining my business by giving it a try? Okay.
Wow.
That's the generalization of what you're supposed to say. And then G.A. Jane talked about three different types of people you'll be interacting with. They categorized them as apples, red apples, green apples, and rotten apples.
Wow.
Now, the red apples were people like me that were excited, wanted to join, looking for opportunities. They, you know, they hook on right away.
Okay.
The green apples are going to be the ones that ask you a lot of questions. And they say you don't want to spend too much time with green apples because they're going to stonewall you, and you don't have time to be stonewalled. You've got to pitch them the opportunity. If they're not, and they're just going to ask you questions, you got to move on to the next one.
If they seem interested in how the business runs, they're not good people to have in the business.
Exactly.
And what's the rotten apples? I can only guess.
people that weren't interested and wanted nothing to do with it.
You're a rotten apple. I mean, yep. The favor thing is just another thing on its own, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm sure my family love me very, very much, but, you know, asking them to give me $500 and sign up underneath me, that's another level of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what happened next? How many sign-ups did you get?
One.
Okay. And which family member was it?
It was my father.
Okay.
But here's how we did it. I signed my father up as a customer, but my father at that time worked for CenturyLink, which at the time was Quest. And so he had to be very careful about how he did it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to lose his job. So I signed him up for ACN using his fax line number.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he did it
because he loved me and tried to help me out, but he just knew that this was not a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard, isn't it? And I think it's easier for people to get people when there's no sign up fee, like some of the MLMs. You know, you can just say, all right, I'll sign up when there's no monthly fee or, you know, there's no initial, you just buy product and that's kind of your startup fee. I guess it's a lot easier to get people to sign up because you'll pick it right. All right, she's my daughter, I'll sign up. You know, I guess it's a lot easier to get people that way.
Yes, supposedly.
Well, I mean, asking her for a lot of money as well, it's a lot to ask, isn't it?
Now, the first person I call is my best friend, and I've known him since high school. He pretty much knows what I'm like. He knows me well. So I pitch him the ACN opportunity. And
with the script.
With the script.
Okay.
I make the words my own so that it sounds like me and not some radio commercial. So he sees right through it, and he says, Russ, what are you doing? This is a pyramid scheme. I said, no, pyramid schemes are illegal. He said, no, Russ, this is a pyramid scheme you're pitching to me. I want nothing to do with it. And if you want to remain friends, don't ever ask me to sign up for this shit again. This is snake oil. Now, that's a good friend.
Yes. I mean, you probably didn't think so at the time, did you?
No. In fact, I was crushed.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm feeling bad. And I'm like, well, that didn't go very well. And my upline calls his upline and tells her what happened. And she's like, you know, I get it. You're just very new into this. You need a little more training. Rejection is going to happen. It's part of the business. But, you know, the thing is, number one, you don't need those people in your life because they're just going to bring you down. We don't want people bringing you down. We want people lifting you up. So, rejection happens, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Don't let it get to you, honey. But I want you to know that a high-level RVP is going to be giving a presentation here at a hotel in Utah, and we'd love for you to come. I said, okay, yeah, sure. And she's like, yay, great. I'm going to be there, and I'd love to see you. I'll know who you are when the moment you walk through the door, and you'll actually get to see me, and you'll even sit right next to me. I said, yeah, okay, sure. And so the first thing I'm thinking after that conversation ends is, how am I going to get to Utah?
So how far is that from you?
It's an 8-hour drive.
Wow.
Now there are two ways to drive to Utah. You can either drive through Wyoming by heading north, or you can you can head through the mountains west into Utah, but nobody wants to drive that way, especially during the summertime, because if you're driving west to Utah through the mountains, mm-hmm. there's runaway semi trucks that could potentially get you in an accident, mm-hmm. and the falling rocks.
Wow. Oh yeah. Okay. And so just for reference for people, I've only been and visited family in America, but your semi trucks are a lot bigger than the lorries we have here. We call them lorries, but they are a lot bigger. They're like double the size, double the height. They are huge, aren't they? To the point where some of them you can fit cars underneath them, like massive, massive vehicles. So yeah, I can imagine that to be pretty dangerous going through mountain terrain with those.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. So did you travel alone?
No. The first question I asked my upline is, how are we going to get to Utah? It's like you just had me put a millstone around my neck by getting $500, and now I'm broke.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to get to Utah? I don't have any money. So what he does is he calls G.I. Jane, asks if she and her team are going to Utah, and it turned out that they were. And he says, I cannot go on this trip, but my downline would like to go. He's brand new, and he expressed an interest in going. I was wondering if you could take him along. And I said, and she says, yeah, of course. We're going to be driving overnight. Have him meet us in Thornton on the intersection of 88th and Washington. Drop him off. We'll pick him up from there. We'll take him to Utah for the presentation. And then after that, we're going to be driving right back home when you can pick them up at the same spot.
Wow. So not even an overnight stay.
Yeah. No. Wow. This was an overnight drive.
Wow.
Now, so he calls me, lets me know what's happening. He says, I cannot go, but there is a good group. There is a group that's willing to take you there. And I trust them. I know them. I trust them. You'll be in good hands. We're all part of the same team here. And so these people are very supportive. They're willing to help you out by shuttling you there and back. I trust these people with my life. And see that at that time I thought, well, okay. But I was kind of nervous. I was very uneasy about this.
I'd be freaking out. I don't like, I'm a bit strange when it comes to being in cars with people anyway. Like, unless it's my partner driving, I drive. If I've got people in the car, I need to drive. Like, I'm a bit funny with cars anyway, so I can't imagine. It would have been a no-go for me the minute somebody suggested it to me. So you did a lot better than I would anyway going. But I can see why you'd be nervous.
Yeah. Well, he drops me off at the spot. There's this minivan there, and they open the back seat door for this minivan. And so in this minivan, you have the driver's seat, the front passenger seat, and then normally you have like the two back seats, but the middle back seat, that's taken out. And so you just have the very back seat and the back near the back windshield. So there's about 7 or 8 people in this minivan, and a lot of them are sitting on the floor.
Whoa. Why on the floor? Like, why is there so many people crammed in there? Like, if you don't have room, you don't have room. Like, you can't be having people for an 8-hour drive on the floor.
Yeah, it was quite an uncomfortable drive, but it gets worse.
Did you get a seat? Before it gets worse, did you get a seat or were you on the floor?
Oh, I sat in the very back. I did not want to sit on the floor.
No, good.
Okay, but it during this uncomfortable trip, it seems like these people knew each other very well, and so it was normal for everybody just to kind of use each other as pillows.
Oh.
And Mm-mm. being used as a pillow by people I hardly know, that was uncomfortable itself. I didn't really know what to do.
Oh no. Okay. I know, because you can't even say can you get off me please, because you're stuck in the van with them then the whole trip.
Yeah. Oh. For 8 hours.
Oh, and 8 hours back.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's uncomfortable, but I try to break the ice and I try to strike up a conversation, just try to get to know them and see what's going, just see, what they do for a living, how they join ACN, just kind of basic conversation when you meet people, right?
Were they like doing this full time, or any of them, or were they, did they have jobs?
No, they had jobs.
Okay.
Okay. But before any of them could answer that question, G.I. Jane snapped at me and said, "You need to remember why you are on this trip. You are not to talk about anything other than ACN, the opportunity, entrepreneurship, business. This is what we talk about on that trip. Don't talk about anything else because you're not here for that. Okay. Do you understand?"
I'm shocked. I'm like...
Yeah, but and of course the others jumped in and they're just like, "Yeah, you know what, dude, we're not here to, we're not your friend, okay? We don't know you. We don't even know why you're in the vehicle with us. And in fact, you're just an extra mouth to feed for all we know."
I'm wow. Like,
yeah. So they were rude.
Wow.
And having to endure all this for 8 hours, I felt so humiliated that I just, it almost felt like a kidnapping in a sense.
I shouldn't laugh. the description of it. I mean, yeah. Wow. No need to be rude like that. Like, geez.
I was so miserable that I wanted just one of them to give me a mercy killing by pulling out a gun, shooting me in the head, and then dumping my body off on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
Because I couldn't get out. I couldn't get out.
Mm.
Because where am I going to go? It's the middle of nowhere. I can easily get run over by cars in the Wyoming desert. So I'm stuck with these people. It's a miserable ride.
Mm. It sounded like a miserable ride. So nobody spoke to you the whole way, or...
Anything they did say was just rude off-color comments.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was miserable. Yeah. And they were playing motivational speeches to kind of give us this a business mindset. And one of the speeches was a speech by a now deceased motivational speaker named Jim Rohn. And he talks about in this speech, working part-time at your job and full-time on your fortune.
Oh.
And that's supposed to get us in this entrepreneurial mindset to promote the ACN opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel motivated?
Oh, hell no.
No, it doesn't sound very motivating. Well, wow.
So the crack of dawn comes. We're like right in Utah. Okay. And at that moment, we've been in a car all night.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you've been in a car all night where you're laying on each other, you're sleeping, you at some point you start to feel grungy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And we don't want to walk in there smelling bad. So a question I ask is, okay, where are we going to take a shower? And G.I. Jane said, "We're not going to take showers. There's no time." And I said, "Well, we stink. We can't go in there smelling bad. What are we going to do?" And G.I. Jane pulls out wipes.
Ew.
Yeah.
I believe that's like festival protocol. when you're camping at festivals.
Yeah. Like over here in Nevada, in the Nevada desert, we have what's called Burning Man.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
Yeah. So, you know, over there, that's what people use because you're not supposed to pour water on the ground. So you use wipes to clean yourself.
Wait, why aren't you supposed to pour water on the ground?
Because when you pour water on the ground, soapy water, it's kind of desecrating. So they call it matter out of place, which is an acronym for MOOP.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I've learned something.
So soapy water in the Nevada desert, when you're at Burning Man, they call it gray matter.
Okay.
They don't want mud. So
no, that's all you get at the festivals in the UK. It's a mud fest.
Yeah.
So okay.
So anything you bring there, you take with you. They don't even have any garbage cans or trash bags there. It's like you if you have trash, you take it with you and leave the place better than when you found it. That's how it is at Burning Man.
Oh, okay. I suppose that's not bad. But yeah, back to your wipe story.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're sitting in a parking lot. The van is in a parking lot, a public parking lot outside the hotel. Okay. And people are walking by. We are wiping ourselves clean in a minivan as people are walking by.
I wonder what you're up to in there.
Well, you can bet your ass that people were looking.
Okay.
They were looking, raising their eyebrows, shaking their head. It's like, you know, and the thing, we had women in this vehicle. And so the women, of course, they were prepared for this because they were wearing sports bras.
Okay. They became prepared for the wipe down.
They did. But I was not prepared for this.
No. I don't mean.
So it's co-ed wipe down. So we're just like, we're all wiping ourselves. The guys are topless. The women are wearing sports bras. And in a public parking lot where everybody's walking by and seeing this. And then to make matters worse, we're actually changing into our business attire in the van in a public parking lot.
I hope you took it in turns. Yeah, I mean, that's... and G.I. Jane was just kind of marshalling this like it was all normal. Like, come on, everybody, wipe yourself down. Get changed.
Yeah. Oh, the way she was doing it was like basic training. You'd think you were in boot camp.
Wow. Okay, yep. So you've all changed into your business attire.
So then we go into the hotel, and I meet my upline's ex-girlfriend, and she's so happy to see me. She walks up to me, gives me a hug, and says, hello, we're glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. This is going to be a great time, and you're going to be so motivated that when you go back, you're going to go home and kill it. You're going to start your ACN business. You're going to be more successful than you were when you came out here.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had a couple of RVPs there. You had, I'm going to mention the names, but just by doing so, mm-hmm. I'm just telling the story as it was. I'm not attacking anybody at all. I don't attack people as
an and anti-MO. We don't want anybody attacking anybody.
Yeah. So, like the first guy that spoke was a guy named Larry Raskin, and pretty cool dude. He was just talking about how he was skeptical at first and how he believed that it was a pyramid scheme until he was persuaded to get involved. And now he's, you know, at the top echelon in the group, and he's He's become a mentor to several people in his downline, and he's just all passionate about the ACN business. And then he says in the presentation, I promise you some of you will quit. I promise you some of you won't. But those that won't, you have a great opportunity ahead of you if you just stick with it. Now that's a pretty motivational speech. It's a commanding guy talking about stick-itiveness. I'm like, yeah, I kind of like this. And then one of the other ones was the keynote speaker. His name was Spencer Hunn. Now Spencer Hunn at that time, he was a young 26-year-old guy, 6'4", built like a football player.
Mm-hmm.
His personality, giving these presentations, was charismatic. He was outgoing. You would think that this guy was your best friend and he would look out for you. He kind of gave off that impression as he was speaking. And of course he was funny as well, because people when you listen to him speak, it's like, not only are you motivated, but it's almost like a stand-up comedy act at the same time.
Yeah. I think they're the ones that do well, aren't they, with that kind of personality?
Yeah. So there's about, there's like maybe about an hour's worth of speeches, and then they have an intermission, and I see Spencer walking around, just by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this at the time, but I break the cardinal rule, and that is walking up and talking to him. Now, apparently I was not supposed to do that. Okay, because I'm a nobody. Okay.
Wow.
Now, I go up, I talk to him, and I say, "Hey, yeah, my name is Russ. I'm from Denver. I just came all the way up here to see you speak, and you give a pretty cool speech." And he's just kind of looking at me, and he's like, "Hi." Yeah, he wasn't very nice to me.
No, I can.
And at that point, I'm upset.
I mean, you've also just told him, "I've traveled 8 hours to come and see you speak." Like, you could at least be a tiny bit thankful about that. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is one of those things where, the saying, never meet your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
I should have applied that.
Yeah. Don't meet your heroes. Ugh. Yeah. They're always different in real life, aren't they, these successful MLM? And we actually, in the UK, we've got some video footage floating around at the minute. Have you heard of IntelliTravel?
Yes.
So one of the she's quite high up in this country. And some of her, I guess, people have got in to the private training calls on Zoom and recorded the footage. And she is a bitch. To her teams, very different to what she presents herself as on social media like that. So yeah, I can see the higher ups are always kind of like that. They get a bit full of themselves, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just to come up here and then get dumped on even further.
Wow.
And so at this point I'm pissed off. I'm not, that doesn't mean I'm intoxicated. Okay.
No.
So I know.
No.
Over there.
yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if you were drunk, by the way. Oh,
I
kind of
wish
point.
I was at that point.
I think most people would be.
Now, but I'm angry and mm-hmm. I just want to go home at this point.
Yeah.
But I stay for the second half, and then that second half, whatever was said, I wasn't paying attention because I was just kind of I was wanting to get this over with at this point. Mm-hmm. Right then and there. So, yeah, I'm angry. I'm sitting there. I at that point, I wanted nothing to do with this. It's like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So my upline's ex-girlfriend, after the entire conference is over, which is probably about maybe 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She walks up to me and she says, "So how was it?" And I told her exactly what she wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I said, "Wow, it's great. I feel motivated. I'm excited to go home and promote the opportunity to grow my ACN business." And I said, "Thank you so much for inviting me out here." Now, and you said that, I say that because I at least wanted her to know I was grateful for the invitation. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I wish I hadn't gone.
Yeah.
So I rejoined my group. And of course, the group is so happy. They're excited. They're talking about who they're going to, what kind of people they're going to prospect when they get back. So I'm angry at that point. I'm thinking, wow, I waste my time coming up here in a van full of people who didn't treat me well, who made me wish I was dead. And they see that I just kind of have this long face about me. And they're like, what's wrong with you? And I tell them about the unpleasant conversation I had with Spencer and G.I. Jane snaps me and says, you weren't supposed to do that.
Wow.
And I say, hey, what's wrong with it? She says, well, only higher successful reps can talk to him. Well, wait a minute. I didn't see that in the rule book.
No, who said?
who said I'm not supposed to talk to him? Well, what's the deal with that? And then she kind of sighs and says, we have a chain of command here. You work on a military base. You should know that.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, here's the thing. A chain of command is basically who you report to or who you talk to when you have certain things you're trying to handle when it comes to problems, okay?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to go up and talk to somebody higher up in the ranks.
No.
Okay? But she didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, why don't you just go wait in the lobby until we're done, okay? We'll just come get you in the lobby and we'll let you know when we're ready to go. Okay. So I go wait in the lobby and I'm ticked off. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I just want to get in that van, brave the 8-hour ride home, and tell my upline, hey, thanks for nothing, pal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a while. Everybody pretty much hangs out between like 20 to 30 minutes just socializing, which is usually what happens at these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the group's finally ready to go, they meet up with me in the lobby and they're just like, hey, let's go. So we go, and the ride back was quiet because at that moment we're exhausted.
Yeah.
We've driven all night just to get there. We spent about 2 to 3 hours there. Now we're ready to go home. And we're and we didn't really get a lot of sleep because you don't sleep well in a moving vehicle where you're all in cramped positions.
No, lying on top of each other.
Yeah, okay. So we were tired and cranky. So the ride back home was quiet. We get back to Colorado at the same meeting spot in Thornton on the intersection of 88th and Washington. And I'm ready to just get out of the vehicle and not have anything more to do with these people. So they drop me off at the same spot. And then the moment I get out of the car, shut the door, they immediately just drive off. And my upline's sitting in his car. Now he's in a totally different mood. He's happy. He thinks I'm ready to go kill it as a new ACN rep, sign people up, and not only make him money, but make myself money where, you know, like everybody wins. Well, I get into the vehicle and first question he asked me, he's like, so how was it? You motivated? Wrong question to ask.
Yeah, like, no. Wow.
At this moment, I give him the death look.
Mm-hmm.
After what I experienced in the vehicle and at that conference in the hotel, when you ask me a question like that in a good mood.
Yeah. And also, lack of sleep will do that to you anyway.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at him, I said, what the hell were you thinking? He's like, well, tell me, what happened? So I told him the entire story. And at that point, he's feeling bad. He's feeling awful about this. And he feels responsible, which, you know, he should have.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't he go to this one?
I have a feeling it's because he didn't have... The thing is, I was the only person in his downline, and he didn't have money himself because he paid $499 to do this too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
he was broke himself. So it was good. So I guess you can say it was like a blind leading the blind type of situation.
Yeah.
So I was ticked off. I was angry. And I said, you know, you threw me to the wolves. You put me in a car with people I didn't know. And just to get treated like crap. And I tell him the entire story. He's feeling awful. And he's like, all right, you know, just give it a couple of days. And I'm going to call my upline up. We're going to get the sort out. I'm like, no, a couple of days. No, that there is no couple of days. I am done. I'm not doing this.
Yeah. What an introduction into the cult.
I didn't join this opportunity to be stepped on multiple times by people. And that's exactly what happened. I'm not gonna do this anymore. You're on your own. He's like, whoa, whoa. He's like, hey, I understand you're upset. Okay. Just take a deep breath, calm down. And I said, there is no calming down.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can say. Don't tell me to calm down.
He's like, okay, look, I'm just gonna call my upline up. I'm gonna tell her what happened. And you know, he said, just take it easy a couple days. At that point, I just kind of sigh and I said, do what you got to do, all right? And so I go home and I get myself some rest. And then a couple of days later, my upline's ex-girlfriend calls me. She heard what happened. She feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know what? The car ride, the unpleasant encounter with Spencer Hahn at the meeting is like, I understand why you feel this way. Okay. I'd feel that way too. He says, look, we'd like you to stay in, but he's like, look, if you can just stay in for me. I'm like, and of course I'm like, okay, give me one reason why. He says, well, look, there's going to be an international ACN conference in Baltimore, Maryland. And Donald Trump is going to be the keynote speaker. Well, hell's bells. Okay. He just happened to turn that frown upside down.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, Donald Trump's going to be the speaker. Yeah, I'm interested in going, but I said, where I can't afford a hotel. Where am I going to stay? She says, well, here's the thing. So I'm bringing my mom and I'm bringing my brother with me. And you're more than welcome to stay with us in the hotel.
Well, if you think that was an interesting story, I definitely did. I don't know if you'll hear throughout. I was just like, wow. Tune in next week for part 2. It gets crazier. Bye.